Hello, and welcome to Jolly's Fall 2015 podcast series. This is Megan E. Barnes, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Language and Literacy Department in the College of Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Victor Malahuvera from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Dr. Linda Spears Bunton from Florida International University about their article titled, A Qualitative Analysis of High School Students' Engagement with Poetry and Social Justice. Thank you both for joining us today. I'm looking forward to talking to you more about your writing. Dr. Malahuvera, would you mind beginning our discussion by talking about the challenges you encountered as you conducted your research and what advice you would give to people who are doing the same kind of research and either avoiding or resolving challenges of this sort?
Sure, I'd be happy to. To do this kind of in-school research, you obviously need the books if you're working with works of literature. You need the teachers and you need the time in the classroom to do it. We were fortunate enough to have graduate students in Linda's program at Florida International University who were also teaching full-time during the day. So it was actually her students who ended up doing it in the classroom. So we had access to the teachers is obviously the most important thing. In our case, we were using a text, so we obviously had to get the books. There's a lot of grants you could write out there to get them to do different types of research. We happened to just cover it ourselves, but something good for you to know is often if you can contact the publishers directly, they can give you a huge discount when you're buying a lot. So bypass the local bookstores. It usually even works better than your university bookstore. We got over a 50% discount, and that's how Leslia ended up getting in actually doing the Skype in to the students was from part of that discount and contacting the publisher. Another issue in it is when you do it during the year. So, and I'm sure most researchers in schools have to fight this. We've had to fight it on other research, is the whole crush for standardized testing. So our unit got pushed to the end of the year. So a lot of research that doesn't directly have to do with bubbling in a multiple choice answer on a standardized test often gets marginalized and pushed back to the end of the year. And that's really challenging. And we talk about it in the article a little bit because you have students and they're kind of at the end of their rope. They're at the end of the year. The teachers are kind of in the same spot. And that seems to be where many of the things that we talk about as authentic learning get pushed to now. Other than that, I think what was interesting is that we didn't have an issue with it being an LGBTQ-themed text. What's important to remember there, though, is that we did our research in a school system that has a very strong teachers union, and I think it's really important that educators as a whole, practitioners, the professorate, that we keep in mind that unions are integrally tied to academic freedom, and as unions wane in power, so does the ability of teachers to choose their materials. So beyond the inherent heteronormativity of schools and issues like no promo homo, to choose material that some may consider controversial, and other teachers just can't choose their material because they're on scripted curriculums. So I think that's really important to consider looking at where you want to do research and looking at what the teachers are actually able to do. And just keep in mind that our voices need to be used to really try and maintain
those lines, but more focused on the theoretical aspects of the piece. Dr. Spears Bunton, would you talk to us a little bit about how your study challenged you to rethink and reconceive the theories you call on to frame the research?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. One of the ways that I typically think about the world is through the lenses of Rosenblatt's reader response. And in working with this project, that's one of the ways that I framed my thinking about it, as well as philosophically along the lines of Baldwin, who wrote, I believe, 1971, that if we can change the way people think about the world, even by a little, we can change the world. And one of my personal goals as a professional educator is to work towards ways that we can leave this world a little bit better than we found it. In this rethinking, this thinking that I did during the data analysis particularly was most profound for me was that reader response was an effective experience that occurs clearly during and clearly after the reading experience. And in fact, following the reading experience, the response may be more pronounced and more profound. It's so much more than just about reading and engaging in a text as a singular experience, but more about examining life in order dominantly those of outrage. That it made me think that social justice really is the point of instruction in English language art, that it is the tool that we use to move people from point A to point B and able to understand both the word and the world and feel empowered to respond to it, and in that way affect some kind of changes. So in this study, their students' responses to issues of suicide were so compelling and so pronounced that it literally shook me to the roots. And I know Victor is going to talk about that response with you, so I'm not going to, you know, do too much detail on that. But I think in reading their poetry about suicide, it changed the way that I will go about doing things with social justice for a long time, if not forever, in my career.
So following up with that, Dr. Malavera, could you speak to some of the practitioner-based implications from the article?
Sure. I think what Linda brings up about suicide is important because I think it really shows how in what I would consider a well-run English language arts class, many topics are discussed. And one of the things we found that Linda mentioned was looking at suicide as an acceptable form of a solution to one's problems. And I think for a practitioner, it really brings up that regardless of how many standards-based teacher preparation programs are out there, that social justice really is the foundation of what goes on in an English language arts class, and that teachers in the classroom need to feel comfortable discussing many different types of issues that other people may find controversial, whether it happens to be suicide, whether it happens to be the rape and female genital mutilation that was referenced in it. I think that when you're in a classroom, it's not just a matter of shutting students down who might even have an opposing point of view that we don't find acceptable, but being able to manage discussions. And that's talked a lot about in terms of dialogic instruction, and many scholars have written about that. But I think that's something that practitioners could really benefit from, and us as teacher educators should weave into our teacher preparation programs more, not just on the theoretical basis, but actually how do you run a classroom discussion? How do you handle a student who starts talking about suicide or talking about rape? And, of course, that goes back to where you are. In certain areas, teachers are going to be much less reticent due to their possible fear of parent retribution or somebody complaining. So I think that really is one of the implications of it. And I think that, in general, argues against the whole concept of having a possible existence of a sanitized curriculum because, you know, teens live in the real world. They see things. They see the Black Lives Matter movement going on. They see immigration issues going on. They see crimes being committed here and in other countries, and they don't live in a vacuum as much as some people would like to believe that is the case. I think it also brings about the need for an English language arts teacher to be able to juggle several different outcomes at the same time. So, for example, in this unit, we have a teacher who's able to deal with the actual content knowledge at a high level of poetic forms and poetry, who actually has the background in social justice education and has the concern with it, and also knows his students. So he's able to explain social justice in terms and examples that they can understand. So I think that really, I mean, to put that all together, I guess it's really about knowing your students, knowing the real world that they inhabit, and understanding how to weave that in with your instruction. And even with all that said, there are tests that exist in the world that students need to be prepared to take, and I think that that is also a skill that needs to be put in there as well, because, you know, while we focus on the reader response angle of it and the content of what they wrote, these students learned a wealth of poetic forms that would easily, their knowledge could easily be displayed on some sort of test in the future. So I think weaving all of that together is something that is really important for classroom teachers. And again, I think it's our responsibility as teacher educators to provide them with the ability to learn that while they're getting their preparation.
And finally, Dr. Spirit-Funton, what are the main takeaways you hope readers get from your article?
Well, one of them, I'm not going to go into too much because Victor's done such a wonderful job, but part evidence, clear research-based evidence, data that teachers can use to show that literary study and social justice are really logical and intellectual and affective companions that can make a difference in students' learning even over a short period of time. Then the second thing I'd like them to take away would be the matter of choice. When students have a choice in what topic they're going to study, just as when anybody has a choice, you're likely to get more interest and more participation. These students were at the point where they didn't have to do anything else. Really, for them, school could have been considered over. And yet, they wrote 15 different kinds of poems. And yet, they did research. Nonfiction research, which is a big thing here in many of our schools, to reduce the amount of fiction one actually reads in an English class. All of this has to do with their choices. One student wrote in his survey that the reason that they chose the Trayvon Martin killing as a topic was, he said, because I knew him in middle school and I was in this group, and I kind of insisted that my group work with Trayvon Martin's death. This is really interesting because in our schools here in Florida, teachers were forbidden to actually bring up the topic of Trayvon Martin's death right after his death, including in the school that he went to. So I think it was important that this child brought this up and brought it to light, and the group dealt with it as a whole. Secondly, I hope people really take away the idea that response to literature is anchored in social justice themes, and that these themes are a catalyst for intellectual, emotional, and social movement. And thirdly, that this movement is continuous and recurring. And finally, to remember that the posture that readers take, and in this case, the topics that our readers chose to use as their basis for poetry, the kidnapping of the Nigerian girls, the body of the material, I wish we could have put more examples of it into the article, but we were just out of space, brings tears to your eyes. Suicide, we talked about. Ideas about how wealth overtakes justice and freedom for people who are not wealthy, and as in influenza, which was one of the groups that were participating in this study. I think when teachers listen to the intelligent things that students say and give them an audience and an avenue, I think we are doing a service to students for many years to come as they meander their way and make their way through their lives and how they think about the world and how what they do about what they think about the world.
Thank you both for taking the time to talk with me today. We are very excited to share your work with our Jolly Readers this fall.